Hold on to your seats, folks, because we're going to crank it up.
So enjoy these beautiful creatures as they soar into your hearts on their flights of wonder.
Tonight's story on the Twilight Zone is somewhat unique and calls for a different kind of introduction.
And thanks to all of you! We'll see you after the show! All right, here we go!
WDW Radio,
your information station.
Hello, my friend, and welcome to the WDW Radio Show, your Walt Disney World information station. I am your host, Lou Mangiello, and this is show number 559, and I'm here to help you have the best vacation experience, not only when you go to the Disney parks, but I also want to bring you a little bit of Disney magic wherever you are, not just with the podcast, but with my live video broadcasts on Facebook every Wednesday night, blog, videos, special events, audio tours, and more. Whether you're planning your first trip to Walt Disney World or you just love the history, details, secrets, and stories, there's something in the show for you. And each week, I'm going to take you from the parks to the screens and everything in between. And if you're a new listener, welcome. Thank you. Don't forget to go back and check out some or all of the past episodes for interviews, top tens, reviews, and more. You can subscribe to the podcast in iTunes and visit www.radio.com. I'll open up the inbox again this week and answer your questions about a wide spectrum of topics, including boarding the Disney World Wayback Machine to the Disney MGM Studios and memories of a movie set adventure, Galaxy's Edge opening, unique ways to celebrate your child's birthday, how to bring the Disney experience home when you can't get to the parks, how much time to dedicate to all the Disney parks around the world, and attractions that may or may not be going away soon. Of course, I'll have some questions for you to answer as well. I'll then have the answer to our last Walt Disney World trivia question of the week, and I'll pose a new challenge for your chance to win a Disney prize package. And be sure to stay to the very end of the show as I'll have more information about upcoming events, our next meet of the month in Walt Disney World, your voicemails, and more. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this week's episode of the WDW Radio Show. Since day one of the show, back in April-ish 2005, it was called something else back then, don't worry about it, but my intent with the show has always been that it's not just for you, but something that is to be done with and by you as well. I don't want you to be a passive listener and when the show is over, it's over. I want you to be part of the conversation, the content, and the community. And we do it lots of different ways with the Facebook group. If you go to wdwradio.com/community, the live shows on Wednesday night, the events in and out of the parks and on land, off land, at sea, on the road, connecting on social, etc. But one of the best ways, I think, to do that, and one of my favorite ways, is to try and help you. And it's really the why that makes me do the show. And I think the best way is by listening to you and answering your questions online, in person, and of course on the show. We're going to do that again this week, and I am joined also by someone who's in the business of trying to help you have a great, dare I say magical, Disney vacation. She is the fish to my chips, the cheese to my macaroni, you can tell I'm hungry, the Mindy to my Mork, the oats to my haul, the boat to my house, I had to, the Tito to my Michael, and the she to my Nanigans. You get the point. She is my friend and longtime sponsor, Becky Mankin from MEI and Mouse Fan Travel.
Look at you bringing out the 70s references there.
Right? You can.
I'm pretty impressed with that. What, you did you live back into another dimension or something?
I've been in a very nostalgic retro mood.
Oh my gosh,
as
it's got to be the Spider-Man movie, isn't it?
There's lots of reasons why I am very.
I was going to try to throw out my rocket to your Groot, but then I was thinking, wait a minute.
Groot is way too tall. Really, yeah. I'm more of the rocket in terms of overall stature.
Wait,
but
what?
In terms of stature, I own it. It's fine. I'll okay. I've never been mistaken for a Groot. But
all right, I'll take Gamora for that one then.
Now you're just making it weird. Okay, so listen, this is one of my favorite things that we get to do together because we get to literally just open up the inbox. We've done this.
Terrifies me. It right. terrifies me when you don't have any agenda.
Because the last few shows. I have not, as I have normally done in the past, sent you a list of questions. You get to do your research, prepare your soliloquies, and have at it. This week, we're going to go and do what we've done the last few times. I am going to just open up the inbox, start to randomly select one, say a little prayer and sign of the cross before I do, because you never know what we're going to get right in.
Yeah, because if it says something like, I'm looking forward to going to Disney World in the year 2005, and you never know what's going to happen.
I've never heard anybody call it 2005, speaking of who's old. But yeah, and listen, and
on Twitter.
And if you have sent me an email in the past, I apologize. We try and get through as many as we can. So listen, enough of the shenanigans. Let's get right into it because
I like the sheet.
There's a lot.
I'm just saying that's actually.
And then maybe do a little quick lightning round once again, which I know you absolutely hate. So okay, let's get in. To Justin Kippenberger, who says, hey, Lou, I'm a longtime listener, been working my way, not back to you, babe, but working my way through the podcasts, and I do have a couple of Wayback Machine questions. Yikes. First, I am 37 now, but a long time ago when the Disney MGM Studios, my brother and I were taken to a place backstage where we were led up a staircase to a production room. In that room, there was a giant fake bee from the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids movies. They had us climb up onto that bee and act out some scenes as they filmed in front of a giant green screen. They then showed us our video and I think gave us a copy. I'm trying to remember details on what exactly that was and when they did that. And then second, this is somewhat similar to the first question. Back when my brothers and I were younger, my two older brothers were taken to a place on Main. It sounds very ominous, by the way you describe it. We were taken upstairs to this little room. We were taken to a place on Main Street
in dark clothing
for a reenactment of Dick Tracy. Same questions. When would they have been? And are there any more details? Also, do you have any plans to do similar things like that in the future? So, Becky, I'm going to ask you first. Do you remember anything like that from the old Disney MGM Studios days?
I do not. And when you're talking about the old MGM, and I'm doing that in hand quotes, I'm not exactly sure when this would have been in play. My first visit was in 1996. So is that considered old?
Well, and I think, you know, some of the places that he is describing were definitely more geared towards children. So I can understand why you may or may not have.
I just stepped in there, didn't I?
You did. Totally did. You did. Yeah. So, all right. So there's a couple of things going on in your question. So first, let's sort of go backwards, because the first thing that you're talking about with Honey, I Shrunk the Kids may be one of two different places. So in terms of Dick Tracy at Disney MGM Studios, you were probably talking about the Dick Tracy starring in Diamond Double Cross stage show, which was based on the film that came out in 1990. It opened at the theater in the Theater in the Stars in early that year. Also at Videopolis in Disneyland at the same time, right around the same time. So a couple of things. The Dick Tracy film was, for Disney, going to be, in their minds, the next sort of big blockbuster franchise. It had all of the requisite elements, right? It had Warren Beatty. It had Madonna. It had, you know.
I forgot about that.
Right? So it had all these big name stars. They put a lot of money into this film. And there were a lot of plans. And if you go back and listen to some of our earlier shows where we sort of went, well, I think the 30th anniversary of Disney MGM Studios, we might have talked about Dick Tracy at length there. But there were a lot of plans for this to be a bigger franchise and a bigger presence in the park. But here, this was more of a stage show that took place at the old Club Ritz nightclub, and Breathless Mahoney, who was Madonna, not in the parks, but was portrayed by Madonna. And there was it was a very musical show. If you remember, there's the Calling Dick Tracy. You might hear it sometimes even in some old Disney MGM Studios background sounds and things like that. So a lot of different dance numbers and whatnot, but this is not a show that lasted very, very long. And in terms of Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, so there was the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids movie set adventure, which opened in December 1990 and actually was a very, very long, it ran for more than 25 years. This closed in, I want to say spring of 2016. Again, this was very much part of Michael Eisner's Disney decade that never maybe reached his full potential and ideation. But Honey, I Shrunk the Kids was meant to, again, be another one of those cornerstone franchises. And in Disney's Hollywood Studios, they had a movie set adventure that was outside. And if you remember, the idea was that you were shrunk down to the size of one of the kids in the film, and it was really a play area for kids. There were ant hills and these giant ants. There was a spider web maze. I remember the giant canister of Kodak sponsored film. There was the dog nose that sprayed the cool mist, a water hose, and there were these giant, like 30 feet tall bumblebees and blades of grass in there as well. So it was a place for kids to sort of run around, expend some energy, and also feel as though that they were part of the movie.
Okay. I do not remember that. I'm trying to go back in my brain. All I can think about now is the movie that I want to go back and see, because I haven't seen Dick Tracy in a long, long time. But it sounds like a fun place to hang out. I did not. And I'm just glad there wasn't a spider, was there?
There was, there were spider webs too.
See, that's just disgusting and ew. It'd be a great place to you know, do the Halloween thing, I guess, but no.
There was also, and I think now that I'm rereading his email again too, I think what he's talking about is actually not the outdoor play area.
A place with a green screen, right?
So yeah, right. So he's talking
about video of you.
Yeah. So it was during when they had the backlot tour, so the backlot tour originally was not, you know, if you remember when it closed, the backlot tour was maybe a, you know, 30 minute or so, still a very long attraction. But at one point, the backlot tour was, you know, it took up a part of, you know, a quarter of your day. It was like a 2-hour thing. There was a tram tour and there was a walking tour. And on part of the walking tour, they took you to an area where there was a green screen, and it was a giant bee from Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, and you were able to get on there, and people would sort of watch you in this soundstage environment as they filmed you. I never actually was able to, it was like watching Romper Room as a kid. I was never able actually picked to do it, but I think you may have actually gotten a videotape. So that's probably what it was. It was the backlot tour was the green screen. The movie set adventure was the play area. And again, the Dick Tracy diamond double cross. Three things, Becky Mankin, that you'd never experienced, nor will you ever, at Disney's Hollywood Studios.
Nope, it sounds like I missed out on that one.
You sound devastated. All right, let's move on. Let's move on.
The danger of doing this without knowing what you're picking out of that hat.
Exactly, and it's really testing my memory too, as I try to remember this, and I'm not awesome at dates. All right, here's one that I think we can easily address. It comes from Todd Popple. He says, we are staying at a Disney hotel the night before Galaxy's Edge opens. What time would you realistically think we should head to the studios to get in line? Gates open at 6 a.m. We're expecting somewhere in the 3 to 4 a.m. range. What is the word on the street? Thanks, Todd. Todd, listen, if you're not online already, you're too late. You're already way too late. I think it's a hard question to answer because we don't know what sort of policies and procedures Disney is going to have in place. Because I think what they don't want is people coming at 6 o'clock the night before, as people have been wont to do for things like Star Wars weekends way back when for the autograph lines. They're not going to want people trying to start lining up, you know, at some ungodly hour, not the night before, but really almost the day before.
I was going to say days. We've seen that attempt to happen at other events. So I'm hoping that they'll come out with an actual time that they say now is the time you can actually start lining up is at X time. I have not heard what that time is. Have you?
I haven't. And I think they're going to wait until we get closer to figure out. Obviously, they've just recently opened and expanded the security checkpoint and lines over at Disney's Hollywood Studios as part of the entrance makeover. There may be more areas that they can get guests through security at a certain time and then let them queue up. This way they'll be ready to go. But I would not expect it to be, you know, 11 o'clock the night before. I mean, it very well might be the same kind of thing, but there has to be at some point a dissemination of information in terms of when you can even get into the parking lot and start parking. You know, because what's going to happen is people are going to get there as early as they possibly can and start forming their own line before the official line. I think that's what Disney wants to avoid, you know, to avoid any kind of confusion or issues.
Right. And then you have the two different lines, because when they start doing the extra magic hours, you have to have you have to be staying on property to get in that line. But think about the second line for the people who aren't staying on property. That's going to queue up for to get into the land after that. So this is going to be interesting to see what they come up with in terms of process.
Super duper early extra double morning hours. Yeah, it'll be, again, we'll obviously get more information as we get closer, but just be prepared. Download a book or a podcast and bring your patience
or 10
whenever it is.
Bring some coffee, some donuts.
Yes. Make friends with the person in front of you and behind you as well. All right. Lindsay says, "Hey Lou, I recently started listening to the podcast and I'm having a blast listening my way back through all the older episodes. I am planning a trip to Walt Disney World as a surprise for my daughter's 9th birthday. I am trying to figure out where to have her main birthday meal. It doesn't matter if it's breakfast, lunch, or dinner. I just want somewhere that's going to make a big deal out of it. I haven't been to Walt Disney World since my college program in 2005. Shout out to Adventureland. And so much has changed. I would love to hear your recommendations. Thanks, Lindsay." So first things first, I think even before we get to the where and the when, I think that you should step back. And when you start to call to book your reservations, maybe even through a, you know, travel agency like Mouse Fan Travel, let the travel agents or the Disney reservation agents know that you are booking where you're going to be celebrating a birthday on your trip. This way, especially if you're calling a restaurant, this way they could make notes in the reservation so the restaurant is aware. Not that it's a guarantee that they will do anything, but at least let them know ahead of time when you make your ADRs, and then when you check in. I would also tell the cast member at the podium too, like, "Hey, we're here to celebrate my daughter's birthday. They're 9. She's 9. You can sort of do it on the sly so she doesn't hear." Now, in terms of, before we get to the where, other things I would do too. Obviously, if you get your birthday button in advance, sometimes that's not only just a nice gift, which is free, by the way, for your daughter. It's also a signal to cast members that sometimes they can make a little bit of extra magic. There's also other stuff that you can do in advance. You can call Disney Floral and Gifts and they can do a celebratory birthday package. I even think they have like princess ones and pirates ones and Mickey and Minnie ones. So if you wanted to have something in your room, they can do balloons, they can do decorations, they can do plushes and Mickey ears and all kinds of stuff like that. Well, you can even order. You can also order a cake in advance too. If you call, there's a cake hotline. If you call, I think you need to give them 48 hours now. You can have a cake made and designed for your child and delivered to the restaurant. Anything else that you would do before we even get to the restaurants themselves? Because that's where we're going to shine, is when we actually start picking the places to eat.
I know. The birthday cakes are very cool. I will admit I've done that for a few clients, and they go all out on these cakes, and they serve anywhere from 4 to 6 people. And I think the cost is, you know, it's about somewhere between that $50 to $75 and up, depending on what you want to have done with these cakes. They are fantastic. They're a great way to celebrate. They can be delivered to any of the restaurants. I think that is one of the best tips for the pre. Like you said, the room decorations are very cool too. They do things that are specific to characters. And if they do have these little packages, like you said, princess, pirate, and so forth, but if your child has a favorite character, you can talk to them and say, you know, I would like this package, but I'd like it to be geared towards Tigger or to Mary Poppins or whatever that character is, and they can customize them too. So you don't have to just look at the website and take the generic birthday package. They've got all kinds of ways that you can customize them specifically for your child or your child at heart.
Yeah. So, all right, let's just get to the restaurants, because I'm already starting to think of other things you can do to plus it.
Restaurants for food.
Okay. So restaurants that I think is, so again, it's a 9-year-old daughter. Restaurants that I think would be fun, and you don't necessarily have to, and I'm thinking about places that you don't have to necessarily book something like I'm backing into the restaurants. It's not like a special event where you can do the perfectly princess tea party, which I still think it's called the American or the My Disney Girl perfectly princess tea party at.
Say that 10 times fast. That was a mouthful.
It's the My Disney Girls perfectly princess tea party at the Grand Floridian, where you get. Your daughter, I think it's a choice now. You either get an American Girl doll, I still think that it's American Girl doll, or a Duffy, but Princess Aurora comes out and they do this wonderful, very, very cool, perfect for a 9-year-old tea party celebration. It is a little bit, you know, obviously it's a hard ticket event. I don't know the cost right offhand, but it's going to be a little bit, obviously, more than if you were to do a just a regular dinner. I want to say I'm going to try and get a price for you really quickly, because I think you book it for a couple, like a mom and, you know, mom and daughter, or a dad and his daughter. And I think I want to say like $300, somewhere around there for the two of you. But they also, okay, so they get in. Okay, so now it's a special 18-inch Princess Aurora doll dressed in a gown plus accessories, a tiara, a silver princess bracelet, a princess necklace, a fresh rose, a sticker package, and a princess cinch bag. You can also add on, you can do some additional add-ons as well. The cost for the tea party is $333, which is for one guest ages 10 and up and one child ages 3 to 9, and you can add more guests for about $230 per child, and then $98 for other adults. So you can do it as like mom and daughter, or you can do it as an entire family. However, that's not what her question was at all, but I'm just sort of like thinking in terms of
that road. You were going back to when you took your daughter.
I did.
To the tea party. That's exactly where you were going.
You better believe it. And I'm not going to think about it because I don't want to cry. However, Marion, get dressed. We're going for tea.
She was so pretty. That was such a great
thing. But there's ways to do things like that. With the point of me going from big to small was you can do things like this without necessarily spending that kind of money. So my first thought was even someplace like Crystal Palace, the Akershus. You don't have to necessarily do the princess meal, but you can go to the Royal Banquet Hall at Akershus. I think places like Whispering Canyon are fun. Even some place like, and depending on what your daughter's interest is, like T-Rex Cafe. Like my kids used to love T-Rex Cafe. Primetime. Be Our Guest is perfect. You can do lunch at Be Our Guest. It's counter service. It's not incredibly expensive. She can dress like Belle. You can buy or bring your own little accessories and sort of give her princess breakfast, lunch, or dinner inside the Be Our Guest banquet hall.
Yeah, you pretty much hit my entire list. I think I would also add, Cinderella's Royal Table. If she is in that, that's one of those really nice packages that isn't too expensive when you're comparing it to, you know, the tea party. It is still kind of up there. Or you can also do the Bippity Boppity Boutique if that's something that she's still into, because, you know, she's nine. She may not be into princesses. Who knows what little girls are into now, because sometimes it's not all about glitter and gowns. Sometimes it is, but the 1900 Park Fair is also another great location that they might enjoy because of all the different characters that are available there too. So I don't think that Disney World is lacking in options for a great celebration. I think that you could take her birthday and turn it into a week worth of celebration, which any good little girl needs to, you know, celebrate an entire week and sometimes a month of her birthday. So I think that there's a lot of great options. The characters are always such a great addition. You could even just, you know, do the Bippity Boppity Boutique and then go to breakfast at one of the locations where the characters are available, or go into... Have breakfast, like you said. Be Our Guest is also a really good option because of the feeling and the magic in that place, and then going and seeing Mickey afterwards. So there's so many great ways to celebrate at Disney. Oh, I'm starting to think.
So I'm gonna assume, Lindsay, that your daughter is not listening. This is what depending on your time and your budget.
You've now put it together in your brain, haven't you?
You can sort of make a day out of it. Right. So if you listen, the hardest ticket to get in show business is Cinderella's Royal Table for breakfast. Let's assume you're able to get that or Be Our Guest for breakfast. So you're starting out in the and I'm making the assumption, forgive me, that we're thinking something princess wise. I'm looking through your email again. You didn't necessarily say princess, but I'm thinking nine-year-old. Well, I'm thinking my daughter. So let's sort of theme it to princess. You can extrapolate this to whatever sort of theme that you want. Start off with Be Our Guest or Cinderella's Royal Table. You can, if you want to do Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique, you know, either in the morning or later on the day, you can do that. You can also sort of punctuate and bookend the day and the night, right, by maybe doing something like a dessert party. So almost make her feel like she's having her own birthday party. So if you're in Magic Kingdom, you can stay for a happily ever after dessert party in Tomorrowland. If she's a Frozen person, you can go to Epcot and do the Frozen themed dessert party. Or if she's a Star Wars nerd, raise your lightsabers high, yo. You can do a Star Wars galactic night, a galactic spectacular at Disney's Hollywood Studios.
There's something for everybody. Like you said, if she's not into princesses, there's definitely something there. And then if she's into the other characters that are over at Animal Kingdom, you also have Tusker House over there. So I think it really comes down to the preference of what her favorite Disney characters are, and you can build an entire day around that.
That was Lindsay's most expensive email ever that she's ever sent. And
if
again,
money was no option. Then, how would you start from 7 a.m.?
The point is, you can scale those up or down depending on how you want to do it. You know, you can, you know, there were a lot of times that when we would come down, especially when we lived in New Jersey, that if I wanted to do something special for my kids and not want to, you know, buy everything in the park, sometimes you go to, I mean, especially now Target and Walmart have so many things that you can get and bring with you to sort of sprinkle throughout your day, you know, depending on how it is that you want to celebrate. So it doesn't have to be, you know.
No, Not at all. You can just, like you said, go to Target or Walmart or one of the party stores and get a hat. It's my birthday banner, a sash that she can put on, and then the birthday button, and spend the entire day in the Magic Kingdom. And she, you know, we can't guarantee what would be done for her, but I'm sure that almost every cast member that sees that is going to say, you know, happy birthday, princess. So there's all kinds
of. The dollar store is your friend before you leave. I'm just saying. So, and bring your own poncho. All right, let's move on. The next question is from Antoun, A-N-T-O-U-N. Forgive me if I'm mispronouncing your name. It says, Antoun here. I'm from way down under. Miami, LOL. He says, Australia. My partner and I are big fans of yours and your WW Radio podcast. Australia is a beautiful country and a great place to live, and lots of kids grew up here on the classic Disney movies along with the newer ones. The only problem we have down here, in my opinion, is we don't have a single dedicated Disney store countrywide, not many places to buy memorabilia, nowhere to enjoy any Disney-themed entertainment. Why do you live there? Hence, no real opportunity to be able to take it all in and get that fixed. I'm kidding, of course. Particularly for adults who grew up watching the classic films and want nothing more than to jump into our TV set. It certainly doesn't make it easy to fill the Disney void in our lives. We've traveled to the U.S. multiple times and even France just to visit the parks. We love to immerse ourselves in all things Disney, but being so far away from the parks certainly doesn't make it easy to jump on the nostalgia bus all the way down Main Street a couple of times a year. So do you have any tips for us Aussies who love Disney and love to dream but have very limited opportunities and options besides a trip to the United States? So I dig this question, Becky, because I think this is another one of those that's not necessarily specific to him nor specific to Australia. There are a lot of places that are very, very far from Disney theme parks, and sometimes you can't get there as often as you would like, nor maybe do you have a Disney store or even, you know, friends around you that are, you know, into Disney the same way. So really the question is, you know, if you can't get to Disney as often as you like, and maybe you can't even look, I remember being in Jersey going to the Disney store, like you almost had to just go and get your fix. What are some of the different ways you can do it? And I think this is interesting because even if you live domestically, like I'm starting to think of ways to connect yourself to the Disney experience. So, and I'll start the ball rolling with the low hanging fruit. Podcasts are very easy, you know, podcasts. let's go back for a second. If you listen to our show last week where we talked about some of the rumored Disney parks, there was a rumor for a long time of Disney building a theme park down under. It is one that comes up every so often again with rumors of land purchases and impending announcements. I sometimes wonder if it's real estate developers who are doing that to try and sell property in the area surrounding. I don't know that I necessarily see or foresee a Disney park ever coming to Australia, but there are ways to bring it to you. Look, it's the purpose of me doing this podcast, right? I want to be a conduit for you to the Disney park experience. It's why I used to do and still love what Tim does over at Celebrations Magazine in terms of getting content that will feed or fuel your Disney love and your Disney obsession. So for the WW Radio Nation, one of the things I do every month are send scavenger hunts, which even if you can't get to the parks, the idea in my mind is that it might be something you can try and do virtually, you know, either by searching for photos online or going through your own photos or going through your own memories. But I think, and Becky, I want to give you like, there's a lot of different creative and fun ways to do it, both online and offline.
There's a ton. And I was just thinking, first thing that hit my head is, what time is it in Australia on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And that's one of the neat things about this Disney community. And I'm going to call it the Disney fan community. I know that you hate the word fan. I kind of like it, but okay. Is it the connection that people create in their own local locations? whether it be going to WDW Radio on Wednesdays and chatting with each other and listening to you talk about Disney, which, you know, I'm up here in Seattle. I'm 2.5 hours away from by flight to Disneyland, but I don't always get to take advantage of that. And I do need my Disney fix every week. And that's one of the ways that I get it. Not just planning vacations for people, but being able to connect to the community and the like-minded people who love Disney as much as I do. And the moment that you throw out something that could be somewhat controversial and listening to different people's opinions of what they're going to miss or not miss or what they're excited about coming, that's what kind of connects me to the Disney fan experience is talking with and conversing with and chatting with other fans. So all of the social kind of gives you that experience too, between going on Facebook and seeing somebody's post and then having conversations there, or it, you know, maybe you should consider doing a live show for the Aussie time period every month.
But they're like 2 days ahead or 3 days back, or so I don't know what the time difference is back there, right?
You know, you could do that for different global time periods. We could do one just for the UK. We could do one just for the Aussies. You'll never get any sleep, but that's okay, right? It's Disney. But there are so many ways that locally, if you are in, you know, within throwing something, a hot dog at each other time periods, if you can get together. I know that a lot of these local fan groups that have blossomed into larger experiences come from a couple of people connecting online and then getting together to talk about Disney over a meal, which all of a sudden turns into 40 people who are all getting together and trading pins, which then turns into you know, something larger. And it doesn't necessarily have to be 400 people in a ballroom to talk about Disney. It can be 10 people around, you know, for me, with, you know, an alcoholic beverage is always good. She can sit around the table.
Insert sound of Lou putting head in hands. Go ahead.
Exactly. And have these, you know, just connecting with each other over this love for this thing that we all have. That's taking advantage of all of those opportunities is the number one in my head.
Right. So I was thinking of, so I'm thinking on two different sides. So there's the online side, and without trying to sound self-serving, I do have to mention the WDW Radio Box People community. Again, I built the clubhouse. You are the ones who populated, but I still have never seen a community of strangers who instantly become friends, who are so warm and so welcoming and so genuinely caring about one another. If you go to wwradio.com/community, I personally invite you to come and be part of the group and as active as you want to be, whether it's sharing or just consuming. I have to tease a little bit and say that I have been working on something, and I have some friends working on some very, very cool projects, neither of which I am at liberty to discuss. However, I want you to know there are some very cool things coming down the pipeline that are meant to exactly do what you are trying to do, to bridge the gap between you and the Disney parks. Now, if you have, whether you have friends who are local or family or your partner, or parents, whatever, I think there are some things you can do literally in the comfort of your own home. So maybe in Australia, there's not Disney fan groups that get together. Maybe it's something that you want to try and do. See if maybe you can organize something via, you know, Eventbrite or Meetup or Facebook to try and find like-minded friends, because you'll see that community start, you know, can grow from just a few people getting together to something larger. You can do something as simple as Disney Game Night. You can theme the food and the decor. From what I understand, the new Disney Villains game, it's sort of like a role-playing game. It's supposed to be a lot of fun, like a simplified, and forgive me, I've never played it before, but I'm thinking sort of a simplified, you know, role-playing Dungeons and Dragons type game. You can do Disney movie marathons, you know, go
trivia
back
nights.
Especially when Disney Plus comes out, like, you'll be able to go back and watch movies by theme, by chronology. You can randomly, you know, put all the Disney names into a first fishbowl, virtual or otherwise, and randomly pick one. And if it's the Cat from Outer Space, man, that's the movie that you're watching that night. YouTube has an amazing repository of vintage videos. Whether they should be there or not is a separate conversation. However, Disney used to put out so many cool vacation planning videos and sing-along songs and all these kind of cool things. They used to do like a lot of TV specials, like 1-2 hour TV specials, a lot of which you can find on YouTube. I think you can build it. What I mean by that is whether it's you can build the Death Star, Cinderella Castle, like grab Legos and build on your own, the little metal earth collections. There's probably, 30, 40 different ones now. They're little sheets of metal that are cut. They're sort of laser cut, and you pop them out and you bend them and fold them according to instructions, and you can build everything from Cinderella's coach to her castle to the Haunted Mansion to ride vehicle. Like, they're really, really cool. I have neither the dexterity nor the patience nor the time to do it. I have some. They're still in their packages, but they look really cool. Or even try and recreate Disney recipes at home. I mean, depending on how much time and creativity you want to invest, I think there's a lot of different ways to get those little Disney touches at home or at work, however and wherever you want to do it.
Yeah, I agree. But I'm with you, though. It's the connection within the people who have the like-mindedness. So the Box People group, the Wednesday night stuff, the obviously the WDW radio podcast itself, because you give so much information about the parks. So there's connection there. Disney gives us so many great opportunities to enjoy the magic. And like you said, those silly little metal things, I have like 4 of them sitting right here on my desk, and I can't do them either. So find a friend who can do them for you. Right. Buy, they build.
What Becky's trying to say is she will hire you to build it for her and send it back to her. But I think this is actually a great question for you, the listener. What are some of the ways that you bring Disney into your daily life, your home, your work, your nights, your weekends, when you can't get to the parks? What do you do? I'd love for you to share this in the Box People community, again, because that's where the conversations exist. Go to Facebook, go to www.radio.com/community. Either I or somebody will start that thread there, or call the voicemail at 407-900-9391. Let us know some of your unique, inventive, and creative ideas. Let's move on to the next question who comes, from Derek, who says, Lou, and most definitely not Becky. I added the not part myself. Okay. He said, hey, first off, it took me a couple of years and lots of my spare time, but I recently finished listening to the entire backlog of your episodes and the newscasts. And I have to give you a huge thank you for all the work you've put into everything. Derek's going to need a lot of therapy very soon. Anyway, not only is your attitude infectious, but as an audio engineer, your commitment to production quality is amazing. Thank you. I don't want to read anymore. That's perfect. Good night, everybody. That's the end of the show. On to my question, which I hope makes one of the mailbag shows. It did. And here we go. My wife and I have the concept for our bucket list trip for a while, seeing every single Disney park in the entire world. It's going to be a while as to when we can not only afford all that travel, much less take all that time off work, but it doesn't cost anything to dream today. Plus, if you can dream it, you can do it. And if and when you can pay for it, Becky can book it. I know the Disney Parks blog posted an article a few years back about somebody that did that in a record time of 75 hours or so, but that's not what I'm looking for. Oy, that sounds exhausting. My question is this. How much time do we dedicate to each park and its surrounding locale in order to do them justice? I know you've been through every gate except Paris, and I think I've heard Becky say over and over and over again that she's been there over and over and over again. So I hope the two of you combined would have a good suggestion. I'm reading it as it's written. A little bit of embellishment on my part. Anyway,
I was going
to
say,
we've only been to Walt Disney World, although I went to Disneyland as a kid in the mid-80s, and I personally think a minimum of 2 days at each park, yes, you've converted me to Animal Kingdom, with a break, say, every 2 days would be a good approach for Florida. And I've heard that you say to plan a minimum of 3 days for Disneyland DCA. And what about the rest? And seriously, man, thanks for all you do. I know you say that episode one is rough, but I think you're too hard on yourself. It was a fun journey listen to the show take shape into what it is today. And I loved hearing the first appearance of little Timmy Foster, the first appearance of Becky, the first live dining review, etc. Derek, man, thank you so much for such a wonderful and kind. You are filling my heart with joy and gratitude. I appreciate you going back and listening, and I'm sorry also as well. But I dig this question, which basically is, how much time do you think you need to spend at each of the parks? We can hit this, I think, relatively quickly, although you'll have to address France. I think we've talked about World in the past. Look, World, and I'm not saying you have to, but you can spend a week here and not even come close to doing everything. Mm-hmm. The Vacation Kingdom of the World, when it opened in 1971, is a vastly different and smaller place than it is today, with four parks, two water parks, Disney Springs, and all of the ancillary things to do. A week, again, assuming time and money is somewhat flexible, I mean, a week is almost a minimum. Like, because I think, and if we even start throwing Galaxy's Edge into the mix, 2 days at each park is not necessarily crazy talk. You know, if you don't want to go commando style all day, every day to every single park and want to spend an off day at the pool or at the water park and hit Disney Springs, like, right? I mean, that's not even including, and you even talked about sort of the local area, the surrounding locale, in order to do them justice. You know, spending 10 days in a Walt Disney World vacation, all things considered, is not crazy talk.
It's really not. I think this, there's so many questions that I would want to ask before I got really into this. Like, are you just hitting the top few things to do? Are you planning to do sit down meals at every one? All of these would impact or are you going to spend any time at the resort? Are you going to go to a water park? If you're just going to focus on the main parks, you're right. 7 days is enough to scratch the surface if you're going to do it in a not commando. I'm going to be here every 30 seconds. I have something planned to hit this on a crazy planning schedule. So let's say a minimum of 7 days for Walt Disney World. I think you're right. 2 days at each park is not crazy talk. Especially with all of the newer things that are there. Like, you know, people are probably going to argue that, yeah, you could do Animal Kingdom in one day. I disagree, especially now with Pandora and frankly, the wait time that you're going to have in some of these locations. So if you had 2 days at each, 7 days total, I would agree that's the minimum that you would want to spend to hit all the greatest hits.
That's not even including all the time you need to eat. Like, you need to add five more days on just for the food itself. So let's just say, all right, just so we can quickly hit, let's just say we recommend, if possible, at least 7 days in Walt Disney World. I think 3 days Disneyland DCA as of today, you could almost say four because of Galaxy's Edge.
See, I would, because of Galaxy's Edge, I would say four, because you almost need half a day just in that land all on its own.
And he's asking about the surrounding area. So look, you're in Southern California. There's a lot to do there. And I don't just mean in terms of, you know, theme parks and studios, but there are amazing beaches and there's a lot of, you know, art and culture and yes, dining to do there too. Every time I go to California, Becky, and go to Disneyland, I'm like, this is going to be the trip that I spend 2 or 3 days and go outside of the berm, and I never do. But I've been to California before. We've done the Adventures by Disney. Again, I think you could probably take, depending on how you vacation or what you want to see, easily 2-3 days to visit Southern California.
Yeah, because there's so much history there, and there's so many great things to see and eat and do, and the beaches, and down at San Diego, which isn't very far away, you've got some of the best zoos in the area, in the United States there. But the same could also be said for Walt Disney World, because you do have Kennedy Space Center that's not very far away from that scenario. So you could actually add there if you were interested in those extras.
And the beaches.
Yeah.
And as long as you're here, you might as well hop on a cruise.
Sure.
And you can't do less than 3 days, so there's another 4 days.
Yeah. All right. So I would say for me, I'm going for DLR for 4 days, in my opinion.
And I think
at the minimum.
And I think the overseas parks offer a unique, and we can almost sort of, and the more I think this out loud, we can almost sort of wrap these in together, because look, you're visiting Shanghai, Paris, and Tokyo, three of the most beautiful, important, largest, culturally, you know, amazing cities on the planet. Look, man, I know that when I get to Japan, they're gonna drag me kicking and screaming like onto the plane to come back home. China was amazing, I'm sure. I've been to France as a kid. I mean, you can spend days in Paris and never see it all. I think this is where you do have to start thinking about the realities of your time and your budget and just how long you want to spend in the Disney parks. And in addition, or in lieu of spending time as a tourist going to, you know, these amazing surrounding cities.
Yeah. I don't even know where to start. From the amount of time that we had in Hong Kong in Hong Kong and Shanghai, I wanted more time. We got to see a lot. I mean, we even had Adventure by Disney guides leading us around and taking us to different places. And we had time before and after, and it still didn't seem like enough time, right? So Hong Kong, I think, because it is a smaller park, you could probably do that in, dare I say, 3 days if you want to see the surrounding area. If you just want to go to the park, that's one thing. But remember, going out or going to see Hong Kong itself is an entire day on its own.
Easy. Yeah. And I, you know, saying a day to Hong Kong, I almost feel like you're doing it a disservice and an injustice because it's Hong Kong. I mean, you know,
I'm trying to work on the minimum that you could get away with and still feel like you've seen it. That's
there's no blanket answer, right? I was like, okay, well, the minimum is 3 days, right? You need to sort of, you know, be able to spend time and enjoy the city as well as all the touristy things you need to see. That probably isn't enough. This is probably the least helpful answer ever, but
it's hard.
I think the point is that it really does depend on you and how you vacation, what you want to see. And I think going in with the understanding that you will never be able to see and do it all. I think sometimes you visit these cities to almost test the waters and whet your appetite and then say, okay, is this a city? Is this a country that I want to go back to again and spend more time going to visit? That's how I felt with Japan. We're going back, yay, in just a couple of months. My brains are falling out of my head. I cannot wait to do it. But all right, we have to move on. Kyle Burkhalter from Ellicott City, Maryland says, hey, Becky and Lou. No, I'm sorry. That was backwards.
Oh, so hey, Lou and Becky. That actually says that I need you to actually take a picture of that.
My family and I get to Walt Disney World about once a year. We are disappointed we missed our opportunity to ride Ellen's Energy Adventure and the Great Movie Ride one last time before they closed. It seemed like the announcements for the attraction closers don't give us much of a heads up sometimes. We have a 4-year-old and 1-year-old. And I know the 4-year-old already is getting on Becky's nerves. Has some favorites that we are worried might go away. Figment, Grand Fiesta Tour. Do we have any information or intuition about what attractions throughout the parks might be in danger of going away soon? Thanks for everything. So, Kyle, first and foremost, I am not one to talk about rumors or spin rumors. I know nothing. But I decided as I was reading to continue with this, because I think it's fun to speculate on attractions that are present now that we think might not be long for this world. Now, we know, obviously, Epcot is in the midst or in the beginning phases of what is going to be a transformation. And I expect that in a couple of months, when D23 Expo comes, we are going to get a lot more detail just in terms of how the transformation, evolution, and expansion of that park is going to change. We already know what's coming. We you know, in terms of attractions like Tron and Runaway Railway. But Becky, are there any attractions currently that you think might not be long for this world? And if this was your next, if you're coming to visit soon and it was your last trip for a year, 2 years, insert number here, what do you think that they should go on their potential last ride for? And this is, again, we're not saying that these are rumors or things that we think or know. It's just a fun exercise in thinking this one might not be around forever.
Oh my, you're going to throw that at me first.
No, I'll go first because I think if you have not ridden Journey into Your Imagination and you love it in its current incarnation, you better stop what you're doing and get online, because I have to believe that when announcements come for changes to Epcot, the first one to change, you know what I mean, is going to be Journey into Imagination. That the handwriting has been on the wall for years, and the reason why it sits very much a shell of what it once was, not just the attraction, but the post-show experience, is because they are getting to make the announcement, close that building down, and I will have to assume that's going to affect the Disney Vacation Club lounge upstairs as well. They will shutter that building and make what I think is going to be a massive change. Will it be Bing Bong's emotional roller coaster? I don't know. I just like saying it because it's fun.
It's fun to say. You're right. That is the one that should have come to my brain right away, but I'm just kind of working my way through the entire area. And
Let's go park by park, Magic Kingdom, Epcot, Studios.
Well, really quick, let's stick with Epcot for a second, because we do know that they have made some official announcements of some of the things that are going to close, whether temporarily or not, for the new stuff that's coming. And I'm with you. I can't wait for D23 Expo, because I think we're going to, just like last 2 years ago, it seems like it was like a few months ago, but it wasn't, when they were doing the parks presentation, and the things that they were announcing got us so excited for what was coming next, knowing that we were going to lose some things along the way. But here it is. The things have opened. We are so excited about it now. So it's like the focus to what's next. I'm more excited about what's coming than what's going away. However, I will say, when they said that they're going to close Starbucks for a little while, I did get a little concerned, because sometimes you do need your triple latte mochaccino frappuccino thingy just to keep yourself going in the park. But there are some things that are inevitably have to be closed so that they can make these wonderful transformations for these things that we will adore once they roll forward. So, you know what? here's the thing for me, and no one's going to share this opinion, but probably my least favorite thing that I won't miss if it does ever go away, which it won't now because it is so new, I'm still just not a fan of Mission Space. FYI.
So So what is it? Is it the enclosure? It's the lack of Gary Sinise, isn't it?
You know, when Gary went away, my entire world just, you know, fell apart. No, I'm not. I love attractions and I love rides and I love exhilaration. I don't like centrifuges, I've learned. For some reason, I cannot even tell you the last time I was on that attraction, so it wouldn't break my heart if that turned into something even more amazing than the technology was when it opened some odd years ago.
I love me some Gary Sinise for a lot of different reasons. Like, I like him. However, the fact that I'm going to make a Firefly reference. The fact that Gina Torres from Firefly is the new host does play to my
Firefly obsession.
I do.
I have to
get on it. I'm telling you, I think you can buy it on Amazon Prime now for like $5 for the whole run of the show, which was 15 episodes. It's awesome.
All right. I'm calling in sick and apparently doing Firefly.
Calling in sick to what? The room next door to your the room in your house? All right. Other attractions. Let's quickly sort of think about other attractions that we think are possibly not long for this world. I won't even go necessarily park. I'll just sort of jump around because the Voyage of the Little Mermaid at Disney's Hollywood Studios, I have to believe, is it the death knell has sounded. Launch Bay is obviously going to go away as we approach the or Launch Bay, I think, in its current incarnation is going to change. I would not be surprised if we get an update to Fantasmic or potentially a new show altogether. I think that show has been sort of cobbled back together over the years in waiting for a major refurbishment or a major overhaul in terms of the actual show itself. People have asked for years, and again, I know nothing, this is not a rumor, but Indiana Jones Epic Stunt Spectacular.
Yeah.
It's a huge venue. It's a lot of space. It's also a people eater. Like, you still go, and it still packs the house, and now with discussions of an additional indie movie coming, does it stay the way it is, or does it potentially get updated to refresh as part of the franchise? I will hold off on my speculation there. And over at Disney's Animal Kingdom, my little gut is telling me that park is not done in terms of its expansion as yet. What I would speculate that might change is the conservation station affection section area. I think there's a lot of potential for that space. While I do believe and I applaud the fact that the focus and the message and the mission of Animal Kingdom still remains there in terms of educating people about animal care and conservation, it would not necessarily surprise me because of where it is and the space it occupies, being able to do something different there. I'm giving you the I don't know face, but I would not necessarily be surprised.
Okay. Two that I'm going to throw out really quickly before I move on to Hollywood Studios. For Magic Kingdom, I was not disappointed when they started shutting down Stitch's Great Escape. That was another one that I feel is an area that it's temporarily closed now, or at least that's how it's termed. I know that they've opened it here and there.
Oh, it's history there. Like the Aztecs, man. It's done.
Oh, is it? Is it good? And okay, excellent. So I obviously, I'm happy with that. All right. Again, controversial. Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor. It's just not a... I know it's great for the... It's good for the kids and the small families
hey, kids,
in that area.
Becky's
I get it.
She's just tearing her... Just ripping
I know
it all.
It's
Becky wants to replace the Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor with a bar, with a lounge. So...
Well, no. No. Again, it's just a space where they could at least upgrade it or do something different with it. So that's my thoughts there. Over at Animal Kingdom... Again, from the venue, you can't really change the venue, but I'm not a big fan. This is just turning into the rides that I don't typically go on because I'm not a fan of them rather than them going away. I can see what's happening here. You're trying to get me in a corner. That's okay.
We're not calling it. They're not changing it to Becky World. They still want it to be Disney World. So they're going to have to let kids in somewhere.
Oh, it could be Luland. Oh, isn't that special, where everything would be Spider-Man and Star Wars, apparently.
More Spider-Man, a lot less Star Wars, but that's a separate conversation.
The one there that's obviously changing in Disneyland, but Tough to Be a Bug might need some updating or some changes, in my opinion. It's not something that I go see every time. Do you?
No, but I want to sing the We're Pollinators song because it's resonating in my head right now.
All right. See, that ride was much like way back when with the alien encounter where, you know, they're holding you in and something's licking your neck, which just was so wrong on so many levels. The Tough to Be a Bug, where you've got spiders coming at you from the ceiling and there are things that are crawling underneath
your
back.
Just so you know, Becky, I want you to know that the psychiatrists in the audience are having a field day with you right now.
Yes, spiders, not good in my world, and neither is, you know, small enclosed spaces. FYI, I fully admit my weaknesses here. But those are the only two. But conservation station, like you said, I think that that's another large area that they could do something more more immersive with. So yeah, I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah, and again, I don't want to sort of go down the rumor mill road in terms of you know, there have been rumors for years about Dino Land as a whole going away and Conservation Station completely going away and entire sections of parks, not necessarily limited to Disney's Animal Kingdom, going away. Certainly if you love interventions and what it is, I mean, that we know that that's going to change as well, but that's really all been announced. But I think this is one that's, again, interesting for discussion in terms of you, our friend, the audience. What, if any, what attractions do you think might potentially be, the way Kyle put it, be going away soon, right? Attractions that you think, or maybe even would not mind if they disappeared from the Disney parks. Again, we'll post this question in the Box People group on Facebook at facebook.com, at www.radio.com/community. I'm trying to make it easy. Or call the voicemail at 407-900-9391. So tell us, one, what attractions do you think might be going away soon? And two, what are some of the ways that you sort of get your Disney fix when you can't get to the parks? And even three, we'll go back to Lindsay's question. What do you think are great places and ways to celebrate a child's birthday in Walt Disney World? We'll put all those questions in the Box People group. And of course, if you have questions about your upcoming vacation, you can go and visit mousefantravel.com, because I know that Becky and her amazing team of agents are standing at the ready to help you, all at no cost to you.
Exactly. We're happy to help anybody who wants to do the Disneyland Paris, Walt Disney World, Hong Kong, Shanghai, and or Japan trip, because we can do all of that for you and more.
And we have lots more questions to get to, but I certainly want to hear yours. I promise we will not take so long in between. I forgot to give you a lightning round question, Becky.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I was hoping I was going to dodge that, but go.
All right. I'll let you dodge that bullet till next time.
Nice today. What is going on with you? What happened to Lou Mangiello that I know and love?
If you were going to buy me breakfast anywhere in Walt Disney World, where would it be? Go.
McDonald's.
Which is fine.
Egg McMuffin. You know I've got an obsession with Egg McMuffins. You know that, right? And it is on property, FYI.
We'll go to McDonald's, but you actually have to go inside and walk up to the counter and order it and then eat next to the giant child ball pit.
No, you... Wow. We could throw you in. We could live stream that. That would be podcast gold.
Need like a rescue thing. You know, I get lost in the ball pit.
How about Docking Bay 7? I didn't get to try breakfast there.
Walt Disney World.
Oh.
It's not open yet.
It's like a month
today,
and a half away.
Today, right now.
It's like right around the corner.
Right now, today.
Like right there. Right now. Cinderella's Royal Table.
It's funny because I know that's not her answer.
It would be so fun to watch you go to Cinderella's Royal Table.
I would do it. Listen, I would do it in a heartbeat.
What we need to do. We need to go and do a live review at a character meal.
Which is fine, but you can't. Never mind.
As long as they serve mimosas, I'm good.
Becky wants a character meal.
No, I know. I know the one I want to try because I keep hearing about it and you posted about it is the brunch at Arts.
Oh, it's so good. Oy vey, it's so good.
Everybody who's gone has just raved about that. So
if you have not been to brunch at Artsmith's Homecoming, get on it. That is a good time right there.
What set it apart from other brunches and other experiences?
Chicken.
Chicken. That's it.
It's
a brunch of chicken.
It is. It's a brunch of chicken, but it's phenomenal. We talk about comfort food. It is. Right. Like, we just went last weekend and had a wonderful brunch. Chicken and those maple bacon donuts.
What?
Good Gandhi, man. Like,
what? Whew.
Yeah. And you'll like it. They have all kinds of mimosas and stuff like that, too. But I prefer to eat my calories.
So basically, we need to schedule our semi-annual update meeting, the all-day one. So yes. We go to brunch at Chef Arts and then we move to Boathouse.
You can't do them both on the same day because the brunch is going to sort of, fill you up for a few hours. It'll fill me up for like 20 minutes. But so you don't want to.
Have you met you?
Yes. You don't want to cross those streams, but that's a nice weekend right there. Brunch.
Right, so now we have to add brunch to our list.
And do you see why, to the person that emailed earlier, do you see why you need an additional 5 days at Disney World? I just got you two more restaurants to go to.
There's like a day of just going to Disney Springs now.
That's kind of my life. That's where I'm going tonight. So,
shocker.
Art Smith, I'm coming for you, brother.
Oh, you're cheating on Boathouse now.
We have an open relationship. Don't tell Chef that. I'm so nervous. For our Walt Disney World Trivia Question of the Week, where I invite you to test your knowledge of Walt Disney World history or see how well you pay attention to the details, sometimes in what you see or hear, yes, maybe even eat. And if you think you know the answer, you can enter via our online form for a chance to win a Disney Prize package. Of course, before we get to this week's question, we're going to go back, review last week's, and select our winner. So last week, we were celebrating July 4th here in America, and as part of our Independence Day, I wanted to go with some trivia about our nation, specifically in the Walt Disney World theme parks. I told you how much I loved Liberty Square, and your question was about a ceremony that used to take place every day in the 1970s in Liberty Square in front of the Liberty Bell, and your question last week was to tell me what the name of that ceremony was. I want to thank the hundreds of you who entered, got this one correct, and knew that it was called the Sons and Daughters of Liberty. Now, this, like a lot in Liberty Square, was not just part of Walt Disney World's history, but real American history. The ceremony that took place daily in Liberty Square involved a fife and drum corps marching with a cast member, everybody dressed in Revolutionary-era costuming, and they would choose a boy and a girl from the crowd. I was never chosen. I'm still upset about that. To be an official son and daughter of Liberty. Now, this did, of course, have a connection to real American history because the Sons of Liberty was a secret organization that was created during the colonial era to advance the rights of the colonists and fight taxation by the government. Now, unfortunately, that ceremony does not take place anymore in Liberty Square, but if you have a copy or can find one online, an old video called The Magic of Walt Disney World did show a section of that ceremony that used to take place, as well as the beautiful Revolutionary-era costumes that cast members wore. Anyway, I want to thank again all of you who entered. I randomly selected one entry. You were playing for all of my digital products, which is my 102 ways to save money for an at Walt Disney World book, all 7 of my virtual audio walking tours of Magic Kingdom, yes, including Liberty Square, a WW Radio vinyl sticker, a WW Radio pop socket for your phone, and a WW Radio t-shirt. And last week's winner, randomly selected, is Daniel Kimber. So Daniel, thank you very much for entering. I have your shipping information and we'll get your prize package out to you right away. If you played last week and didn't win, that's okay, because here's your next chance to enter in this week's Walt Disney World Trivia Challenge. All right, I'm going to keep this one simple because all you need to do this week is finish this sentence. Here in this modern high-tech facility, we have perfected blank. That's it. Just fill in the blank. Tell me, here in this modern high-tech facility, we have perfected blank. What did they perfect in that modern high-tech facility that may or may not still be there? You have until Sunday, July 14th, to go to www.radio.com. Go to the podcast section, click on this week's podcast, and use the online form there. Again, you'll play for all the digital products, the books, the audio tours, the vinyl sticker, the pop socket, and a WW Radio t-shirt. So good luck and have fun. That's going to do it for this week's show. Thank you so very much for taking the time to tune in this and every week. And don't forget that I want you to be part of the show, the community, and the conversation. Come by and join our Facebook group over at www.radio.com/community. And as an extension of that, I want to thank and welcome and invite you to be part of our WW Radio Nation family. I sincerely appreciate your love and your support and your friendship and help and being able to give back to you each and every month. I want to thank some of the new members this month, including Christopher Anderson, Dave Toast, Amber Cassaday, and Gary Hassara, who have joined the hundreds of you who get exclusive rewards every month, including new scavenger hunts. We have a private Facebook group, custom Magic Band covers, logo gear, t-shirts, monthly care packages from Walt Disney World, as well as things like exclusive live video group calls, early access and discounts to special events, and lots more. And don't forget that a portion of your contribution to the WW Radio Nation goes directly to the Make-A-Wish Foundation of America. To find out more, visit wwradio.com/support. And continuing with the idea of community and conversation, you can also connect with me on social. I am at Lou Mangiello on Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, and LinkedIn. Much like this week's show, I'd love to hear from you. So if you have a question you want me to answer, you can email me, lou@wwradio.com, or call the voicemail at 407-900-9391. And of course, you know that as much as I love connecting with you online, nothing beats a handshake and a hug. It's why for more than 11 years, I have done monthly meetups in Walt Disney World. Our next meet of the month for July is going to be one of my favorite things we do every year. It's our annual day at a Disney water park. It's going to be Saturday, July 27th at Typhoon Lagoon. We will meet in the morning, make camp somewhere, and spend the day with some fun and some sun and probably a lot of food. To find out more, I'll share additional details as we get closer. You can visit our events page by going to www.radio.com/events. There you'll not only find out about meets of the month, but our group cruises. We still have some availability for our cruise out of New Orleans in February 2020, as well as a few announcements that I have up my sleeve that are coming very, very soon. I'm also planning some additional meetups over the next few months as I travel to speak. And if you want to find out how I can come to speak to your event, your conference, your school, you can visit loumangiello.com. There you can find out about some of the topics I talk about, including the ultimate customer experience, really learning about and leveraging lessons from the Disney company, leadership lessons we can learn from Walt Disney, social media, live video, podcasting, the power of community building, as well as inspiring topics geared specifically towards students from middle school through college. I can come to your event, to your business, or present to you virtually. Again, to find out more, visit loumangiello.com. There you'll also find out about my Momentum Weekend Workshop in Walt Disney World, September 28th and 29th. It's 2 days of inspiration, education, and community where you will learn and execute on what you learn right in the room and meet and work with others right away to help you take your idea and your brand and your business to the next level. Whether you have a blog, a podcast, you're a content creator, product, or brick and mortar store, we can help you there. I'm going to announce our first round of speakers, including our keynote speaker, very, very soon. In the past, we've had Lee Cockerell, Dan Cockerell, Duncan Wardle, Ashley Eckstein, lots more coming. Again, to find out more, visit loumangiello.com. Thanks as always to Becky Mankin and the entire team from Mouse Fan Travel, whatever your Disney or other destination is on the planet. They can not only give you the best possible prices, all available discounts, answer all of your questions, but it all comes at no cost to you. You can visit them over at mousefantravel.com. Go to celebrationspress.com and subscribe and order back issues to Celebrations Magazine. And as always, my friend, and you are my friend, whether we have met yet or not, all I ask is that if you like the show, please help spread the word. Let others know about it. You can do that by tweeting out that you're listening, sharing a link to this or your favorite episode over on Facebook. And if you can, take just 30 seconds to rate and review the show over on iTunes. It's incredibly helpful. I want to thank some recent reviewers like Alpin Brad, who says it's outstanding. I've been enjoying the podcast for years now. Constantly entertaining and so well done. Lou's an excellent host and interviewer. We're big Disney fans and the show delivers. Thank you, Lou and company. And Ben Shapiro says it's excellent, consistent, and magical. Just long enough, never boring, and overall great. And Captain Kirk, I'm not sure if it's the Captain Kirk, but we'll go with it anyway, says it's my favorite podcast, not just Disney related. My favorite podcast, not just Disney, but overall. The show always gets me fired up before I return to the parks and gives me great ideas for new things to do and, of course, new food to try. The best thing about the program is Lou's ability to lift your spirits if you're down and fill your day with a little bit of magic. Keep up the great work, Lou, and that's from Kirk in Chicago. Kirk, thank you, as well as Ben and Alpin Brad, for taking the time to review the show and for your incredibly kind words. And Kirk, you sort of encapsulated exactly what I want to do, man. I want to lift your spirits and bring you a little bit of Disney magic any way that I can. I hope that this show makes you happy because that's exactly what you do for me. And to quote a very famous duck, happiness is the richest thing we will ever own. Donald, you are a very smart man. And speaking of Donald, this is why I told you to wait until the end. You know that every Wednesday night, or I hope you know that every Wednesday night, in addition to the show, I do a live video broadcast and chat on Facebook. It's a great way to have not just me create content and then wait for you to reply, but we get to talk about Disney, answer your questions, have some fun, play some games, sometimes have some giveaways, and in some cases, like this week, have special guests as well. This week, we're going to learn how to draw Donald, not from me. Trust me, you don't want to watch me draw. But who you do want to watch is my friend, Disney artist, Disney design group, and Imagineer, Brian Blackmore. We are going to be joined by Brian at Brian's home studio. He's going to teach us how to draw Donald. And if you've ever seen some of Brian's work, not just in the parks, but maybe on the cruise line, in a lot of artwork, we'll talk more about that when you see Brian. He's going to teach us how to draw Donald. He is an amazing guy. He's been on the show before. I promise you, a lot of fun. That's going to be this Wednesday, July 10th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern at www.radiolive.com. You're not going to want to miss it. If you can't join us live, don't worry. The video will be there on the replay, but hope that you can make it. More importantly, that you invite and bring a friend with you. That's going to do it for this week's show. Again, thank you so, so very much. I hope that this is your best week ever. I hope to see you on Wednesday night at the meet of the month. So until next time, see ya.
Hey, Lou Mangiello, Brian from St. Augustine here, just sitting on the TTA here on July 1st, early morning, having some fun with the kids. We're playing some Sorcerer of the Adventure game, which is pretty awesome. I'm telling you, pretty great time. Hope you guys are having a great summer so far. I know we are having a good time. My daughter.
I'm Avon. I'm Connor.
All right, and I hope you guys have a great rest of your summer. Bye-bye.
Hey, Lou. It's Christine Morrison from Flower Town, PA. I'm not quite done, but I'm listening to the most recent... week, everyone. Make somebody smile, and I'll see you Wednesday night.